You know, there's lots and lots of books, narratives, seminars, how to succeed in life. In the corporate world, it's done all the time. If you're an officer in a company, probably a couple times a year, they'll have meetings and you come together, how to achieve different kind of things. Everybody has this focus of succeeding. Did you know that most all of the same principles are all found in the Bible? Can I say that's where they came from? All I can tell you is that the same principles are found in the Bible, and they go a step further than perhaps corporate world would do. We focus God in it. The other side is we focus self in it and my achievements and what I accomplish. And the other has more of an eternal kind of thing and affects more people. It affects people outside of myself. But these principles of success are all found all through the Bible. With anyone who accomplished anything for God, you see these same things. There they are, all through their life. And we could take it back to God's word. There's people like Bill Gates, who gave his last graduation speech, and these principles are all found right there. You could even give Bible verses for the principles that were mentioned. There's a professor, and he was at a university. He was an instructor there, professor there, and he had pancreatic cancer, and he was told he only had 6 months to live. So he wanted to have a lecture, and he invited all of his students, all the graduates who had already been in his classes, all the teachers, all the professors of the college. The place was packed out, and he gave a speech of how to reach your childhood dreams, and it's called The Lecture. 13 million people have watched it on YouTube. Very famous. You could go and see it. And those same principles are found. Neither one of these men on their own, they have not addressed God at all. They're not involved in religion or Christian thought. But everything that they said in these principles are found in God's word. He had it first, is what I'm saying. And you say, well, really? Well, you can go back to Moses. He incorporated it. And we look at a man named Joshua today, and these successful principles are found in his life, and anyone can implement it. The only problem that outside of God and spiritual teaching is that a lot of these principles could not be implemented in your life because perhaps you don't have the resources to, or you don't have the background to be able to carry out some of these things. And so you're a little bit restricted, where God gives us ideas and focuses that could be carried out in your life. So on a scale of 1 to 10, the corporate success principles maybe go up to a 6 or 7. With God added into it, we take it up to a 10. And we find true success in our life that touches lots of lives. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, Joshua judges Ruth. And you'll find it on page number 140 in these Bibles in the pew. 140. And we're going to start in the first verse of chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God speaking to Joshua. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I promised, the promised land. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever your foot lands, it will be given to you. From Negev, wilderness in the south, to Lebanon, to Euphrates River, Mediterranean Sea in the west, including the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Then he says in verse 6, be strong and courageous, Joshua, for you are the one who will lead these people. Then again in verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to the right or left. Then listen to this in verse 7. If you do these things, then you will succeed in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in everything that you do. This is my commandment, to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times, be strong and courageous. How can you be strong and courageous just blatantly looking at something? I'm strong and I'm courageous. You can't show strength and courage unless you have principles that you believe and know and are part of you. Be strong. How can I be strong? I'm strong because of this or that in my life. Or how can I have courage unless I know something? And this knowing something gives me faith. As Christians, we would say that. And he said, if you will do this, you will be successful in everything you do. Having the God principle added to these principles that we look at changes your life. You succeed. You move forward. And you might say, I'm past succeeding. I mean, I'm old. I'm spent my life. No, we're never to that place. I came through a hard life. So just surviving is good enough. No, it's not. Somewhere you got to come to the place where you decide the Winnie the Pooh thing. What? Eeyore or Tigger? You know him. You remember Eeyore and Tigger? And Tigger, he was always like everywhere. He bounced on his tail. It looked like a spring. Remember that? And he was into everything. And he was sensitive. He didn't intentionally want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything. But he always wanted to accomplish things. He always wanted to be used. He was always moving and going. And Eeyore was, oh, no. It's gray outside today. No one's going to do any good. Nothing is going to happen today. It's going to rain. It's going to ruin everything. When we live like that, and believe me, many live in that place. It's wake up in the morning, go to work or do whatever I'm doing, do my little list, eat lunch, do my little list or work, supper time, watch TV, go to bed. That's how we live. That's the Eeyore life. And we accomplish nothing. We touch no one's lives. The God glory isn't accomplished in us. We don't move ahead spiritually. Nothing happens. And we're tempted to be in that place because it's safe. It's kind of safe. It doesn't do a whole lot. It doesn't accomplish a whole lot. It just stays simple. But no, we have to decide. As a believer in Christ, he said, I came to give you abundant life. Gave it a breathe life into you, and you accomplish great things for me in this life that you live. Well, there are some principles that are mentioned in the Bible that are all over the corporate world, but we're adding to what God already said that was stolen from the Bible because it works. And did you know if you follow financial principles mentioned in Proverbs, I mean, rich dad, poor dad, he follows all of those principles that are found, mentions nothing about God, but follows those principles that are found in Proverbs, you'll do okay financially. It's good guidelines to do those things. If you do it, you'll be all right. And there are principles about relationships, how to deal with your neighbors, how to deal with marriage, how to deal with other things in life. If you follow these things found in God's word, you can ignore God completely, and some things can happen very well in your life because these are spiritual truths that can be carried out that beat things in this world. And God wants us to move ahead. He doesn't want us to be cumbered down. Across from our house, they're making a big horse riding a ring, a huge ring there, and it has red clay everywhere. If right now, I will guarantee you, if right now you walked across that red clay, it would soon be like this deep on the bottom of your shoes. Have you ever done that? And then once it's on you, I don't know, there should be some industrial use for this red clay stuff. But anyhow, you start slipping around, and then it's squishing all over the place, and you like the sound effects. And then you get to a hose and you wash it all off. Get all of the weight off. It's all off of your boots. Man, it feels so good to walk then and not have any of that clay on there. That's what God wants. Follow some of these principles in your life and the weight comes off. And you succeed in things that you do. And I'm glorified in all of it. And you're following principles that I established at the very beginning. He does this in Joshua's life. He says, Joshua, you were mentored by Moses. You do what I tell you to do, and you will succeed in everything. And guess what? Joshua was one of those guys. He did what God told him to do. And when he was strong and courageous, he based it on things that he had been mentored in by Moses. He practiced it in his life. And we're going to look at those things very quickly, a little list right here. And he had it going on in his life, so much so that he defeated 35 kings. You know, 35 nations around where they were, he defeated them all. There were so many kings' names and countries mentioned, it took two chapters in the Bible to list them all. Defeated all 35 of them. Jericho, defeated Jericho. Remember Joshua fought the battle of Jericho? Well, he defeated Jericho. He did exactly what God told him to do, the way that God said to do it. Here's the principles. Ready? This is number one principle. This is taught worldwide, but it all came from God. Extreme optimism. Forget Eeyore. Eeyore can stay in a stall in the barn. Extreme optimism. That we believe things are right and good, and God can work in things, and we're not defeated. And when we look at a day, we say, we need the rain. I got an umbrella. Well, we can make it. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing impossible for me. In fact, he even said that. Nothing is impossible. All things are within your reach. You can do anything. Extreme optimism. Whenever it's never, even when we came here, it was told to me, no, church is too small. You're making a big mistake. That's not the place to go. That's not what you're supposed to do. I knew it was. You knew it was. You're here. And he gave us two services. If we have to, we'll go to three services. I love it. No problem. God can work. No big deal. And extreme optimism. And it's not that I'm that way. And I'm somebody who can get kind of pulled down sometimes, but then I can look up and see Jesus. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look up to me. Extreme optimism in everything that happens. And no is not an answer. No, we're not thinking that way. We can do it. All things through Christ. And then we go to Philippians chapter 4. Think upon things that are pure and right and of good report and of virtue. Think about those kind of things. Let the mind of Christ be in you. The way that he thinks, the way that he moved forward, the way that he looks at the world, extreme optimism. Anyone who succeeded and stole that thought from the Bible thinks that way. Oh, it'll get better. Market will turn. Oh, it's been this way before. Things are going to look up. Bill Gates was fired from the company that he started. Something good's going to happen. Where'd he get that from? The Bible teaches that. And it tells us if we view those kind of things, mountains can move. Yeah, but, I mean, they're using stuff from the Bible and it works. That's because his truth works. They just leave out God. And they choose to. And it's no judgment. They say it. I don't have time for that. I don't believe in those kind of things. I focus on my success and what I do. But you and I are different. We've been touched by the kingdom. It's touched your life. And we point everything towards the Lord and he being glorified through us. Extreme optimism. God is gonna win. God will do it. He'll show up. Watch this. Watch what he does. Extreme optimism. The next is to inspire others. People are more important than things. You know, businessmen, Carnegie, I'd read a whole thing about Carnegie and Rockefeller, and you know, they even came out with a documentary, Men Who Moved America. And you will find in the latter part of their life, they found out it was very futile, everything that they did. And what they did is turned everything around and they said, we need to touch people's lives. gave away millions and millions of dollars to music hall and art centers and different things and humanitarian projects. And I'm not saying that they were believers, not saying it's for the glory of God, but they understood that there's a principle. This principle is when you live your life and you desire to be a hermit, you're going to die in a grave. Nobody's going to know you. It's going to cover with moss. It isn't going to have any effect. But touching lives is where it's at. Making a difference with other people. Well, that's all through the Bible. That's a principle that's taught even here today. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some people are. I mean, don't put away coming together and fellowshipping together, but come together and encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, that we come and touch people's lives. That it isn't just a spiritual life of me and God. It's that God breathes into me and I touch other lives. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So he touches your life. You touch other lives. And you know what? There would be nothing wrong in counting this if it's just you and God. There was a guy named John Hyde. He was a missionary in India. He believed in the power of prayer. And he would pray, God, give me 10 people a day that I can share your truth with, and they will come to know you. Now, it wasn't a contest thing. It wasn't something that he's writing down and sending back to England and telling everybody that he's doing. But he would pray that way. And God answered his prayer. He led hundreds of people to the Lord. And one evening, he'd only talked to 9 people that day. And every day he'd been talking to 10 people. They received Christ. He knew that God was working and using him in this way. And so he's in his house and he's praying and he's coming. God, did what? 9. I've been praying that you would, by faith, give me 10 people to talk to every day. And then God told him, convicted him, that he had a problem with pride going on. Maybe it was some of that. And he confessed it to the Lord, walked outside of his apartment, and there was a man standing there, and he talked to him about Jesus, and this man knelt down right on the street and asked Jesus in his heart, why don't you just say, God, give me 3 people a day that I touch for you. It doesn't matter about the number. What it would do is it would cause us to open our eyes up to people around us. It might be 2 that day. Might be 1, but it causes us, God, is there somebody that you want me to share with, touch their lives, share with, pray with, focus on, tell them a Bible verse, give me some people every day that I focus on and I touch their lives, because it isn't just about me and God. It's what he does through us in the world. Inspire other people. Touch lives. Make a difference in this world. Allow God to work inside of us. It isn't wasted days and wasted nights, as Freddie Fender said, you know. You remember that song? Wasted days and wasted nights. I should have been a singer, shouldn't I? And, you know, he sang that song. And that's what happens. You wasted your whole life. Whose life did you touch? Did you encourage? Did you move towards Jesus? Joshua, that happened to him. Moses inspired him. And in fact, God said, you know, same thing I told Moses. The way that he worked, that's the way you're going to work. You're going to do it. He was mentored by Moses, inspired. And his life was to go on and inspire others. The third thing is goals. If I was to come to your house and we sit down on the front porch, and of course you'd give me some sweet tea, and we would sit there, and I say to you, What's one of the goals you have in your life? Do you have any goals? Well, I really haven't thought about it much. Okay. All right. It also says in the Bible, without vision, people die. We just kind of wither up. Without vision, people perish. That's in the Bible. All around the corporate world, they have vision boards. Why? Because this is the way God works in people's lives. And he says in Jeremiah 23, I have plans for you, goals for you, visions for you to be carried out, even in the last days. It even tells us that old men will dream dreams and young men will have visions. There'll be things that we carry out. What is a dream that you have? I want my kids all walking with the Lord. That's a wonderful goal. I want to see this person respond to Christ. I want God to be seen in me. I want the gift that God has given me to be carried out. I want to accomplish some things. And it's fine. Your accomplishment could be, I want to build a house. Great. Glorify God with building a house. I want to accomplish this. I want to do this. I want my hobby to be something that glorifies the Lord and He moves in and He changes in. And see, we add that. It isn't a goal just about me and I reached my vision board. It's that I did something. I did something that I loved doing. I did it and it accomplished things and it glorified God and people saw it and they looked at Him. There it is. Wonderful. Awesome. God works. What's your goal? Well, I'm held back right now because of finances. I can't do this because of this happening in my life. I can't do that because of my age. None of that. You remember Caleb? Caleb was a friend of Joshua. And there was a city called Anakim. And down there, spies were sent to look at the city because they're going to take it over. And they came back and they said, oh, no, we can't go there. Why? Because we look like little grasshoppers next to them guys. Do you know where Goliath came from? Oh, could it be from that city? Yes, it was. And they were all giants, big guys. And Caleb and Joshua said, they ain't nothing but a bunch of weenies. We can take them. God's got this. Be strong and courageous. It's what we know. God will always win. They believe that kind of stuff. I mean, that's the kind of people they were. They believe that kind of stuff, that they could go and defeat giants. David did too. So God used old men and little boys to womp giants. Isn't that amazing? What's your goal that you have? You have any spiritual goals? You have a goal for your life? You have a goal for taking a breath and going on tomorrow? What's the goal that you want to accomplish in your life? What is it that God has revealed to you that He wants done inside of you? I don't know. Ask Him. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is that He has for you to do. Very quickly, persistence. Block walls. Did you know anything worth gaining will hit a block wall? Did you know that? I said this morning, this is a preacher cuss word, and I say it often when I'm working on trucks, stinking. Every stinking block wall is in your life whenever you want to accomplish anything. It may be discouraging words from people. It might be something that looks like you can't get around it. It looks like, no, people tell you, you can't do that. No, that's a stupid idea. You shouldn't have done that. You made a mistake. Anybody who has ever accomplished anything, including Joshua right here, took a sledgehammer and hit the brick wall and went through it. Other people would be an Eeyore. Oh, there's a brick wall. I guess we can't go through it. We're just going to have to sit right here and see what happens. Maybe it'll fall over one day. Oh, maybe. No, be an Eeyore and bounce right over it. That's what we do. That we're to go and be persistent. And the persistence shows how much you want it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. We go forward and we break through. Just three more things very quickly. This is where corporate world loses it. They messed up big time in saying this. This is not right. This will get you in trouble. Oftentimes in books I've read on success in your life, it'll say, follow your heart. Do you know what the Bible says about your heart? Your heart is deceitfully wicked. It misleads you. How many times have you been misled because of your emotions? You said something to somebody, you got angry and you spouted off, you did this, you felt sorry, you felt lonely, you felt this, felt that, and you moved in the wrong direction. Your heart will mislead you. We, as believers, don't follow our heart. We have something better. In Romans chapter 8, it says the Holy Spirit will lead you. Go this way. Go to the left, walk in the Spirit, not in the darkness, not in the flesh, walk in the Spirit, follow Him. I listen to God. God speaks to me. He tells me what to do. I read His Bible. I understand. I find principles and things that He says in His Word, and I implement them in my life, and I follow after Him, not my emotion. Walk in the Spirit. And it says you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, not a horrible sin thing, but you will not follow the things that your emotions, that your heart is telling you to do. You won't be based on that kind of thing. Follow after the Lord. This is really awesome too. Think of this. Do what you love or don't do it. Where we work, where we live, what we do, what club we're in, our activities that we're involved in, do what you love. If you don't love it, don't do it. Or change your thinking. It tells us in God's word in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it tells us that we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being. It also relays it in Matthew. Tells us the same thing. Carried over in the New Testament, the greatest command of all commands is to love God. Then if I'm working washing dishes there, and I hate it because it cracks my hands, and I hate washing all the tomato paste off all the pots and pans. Hate it, but it's all I got to do. I'm now loving God with all of my heart, soul, and being, and He says, do all things as unto the Lord and not men. Okay, tonight at 6 o'clock, when I go and wash dishes at the restaurant, I'm going to do it for Jesus. I'm going to scrub those tomato paste stuff off everything for Jesus. I'm going to do the cleanest pots and pans that anybody has ever cleaned. I'm going to become the best at all the little things. I'm doing it for Jesus. All of a sudden, my attitude changes. I start loving what I'm doing because I'm doing it for Him. I'm not doing it for me. I'm not looking about my pleasure in it. And I'm saying God has placed me right here, right now. And while I'm doing it, I glorify Him until He changes the agenda. If you can't do that, quit. Do something else. Find something. But the best thing to do would be to change our stinking thinking and get it to a place where everything that I do, I love doing it because I'm doing it for the Lord and He has placed me in that place. Corporate world says, love what you're doing. Make it all around what you're doing. Change it up. Tell people to get out of the way if they have to. But love what you're doing. Well, we love what we're doing because we do it for God. And here's the greatest. This isn't morbid. This is motivational, I believe. I want you to take your Bibles. This is the last principle that I want us to stand on. Then I'm going to go over them real quick and we'll be done. Psalms 39. If you take your Bible and you open it right in the middle, you'll come to Psalms. Psalms 39. And we want to look at verses 4 and 5. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is just but a breath. Live every single day as if this is the last day you're going to take a breath. And you don't know. Why don't we just live every day? That's exactly what the verse said. My life's just a breath. Make me focus on it. Let me see the importance of today. What I'm doing today, let me realize that I'm doing it. I'm doing it for you. I have a focus in this day. You've given me goals and things I'm reaching for in this day. I'm positive about what's happening here. I see you. I praise you for what you're doing. I wake up in the morning. I brush all the scum off my teeth. I look in the mirror. And then I say to myself, today's the day. Today is living for you. Everything that I do today, I want focused on you. This might be the last day I ever breathe. How important it is. And the professor who spoke before that college, the university that I spoke at, the last lecture on YouTube, as he spoke, he told everyone there, in 6 months, I'll be dead. I've done all the radiation, pancreatic cancer. There's nothing that they can do for me. I've done all the medicine. I feel good right now. He even got down and did some push-ups and said, I'm healthier than any of you here. But in 6 months, they said, I'll be dead. I want you to know these different things to implement in your life. Lots of them are right here. We just went over them, except he left out a major part and he never spoke it. And it's just him. And again, I'm not being judgmental. He never spoke anything about God. And I say in it, it's futile. Unless God is in every part of these steps, it's worthless to us. It just centers around me. It dies with me. Cassandra, this last week, told me how important her grandmother, who has now passed away, was to her in her life. My great-grandmother was to me in 1971 when I made a commitment and focus to God that I want what she has, and I never go a day without thinking about the spiritual impact that she had on my life since 1971. And so what I'm saying is, believing that today is the last day that you might live, you might have an effect on somebody, and it's eternal. I don't know how heaven will be. There's a song about, thank you, Lord, and these people are recognized for the things that they did for the Lord on earth. It may be that the things that you say, speak to people, the way that you invest in people's lives, it's mentioned one day. Thank you. Thank you for honoring God in that. Maybe that's what happens at the judgment seat of Christ. You're recognized for those things that you carried out in others' lives. So very quickly, here they are. Optimism. Build optimism. Inspire others. What's the goal that you have in your life? Are you persistent and are you breaking down walls? Are you walking in the spirit, not the heart, but the spirit? And do what you love because you love God. And live today as if this is the last day you'll ever take a breath.